Hey everybody, it's Gareth Flood here, and today we're going to do something a little bit different, and we're going to cover the four biggest marketing pups in history. So we're going to talk about KFC, American Express, Ford, and of course the B word. We're going to talk about beer, Budweiser and Bud Light, and what happened there, given its many months now after the initial kerfuffle. The brouhaha has died down, so we're able to dispassionately and analytically look at what happened. Why did that go wrong from a pure marketing perspective? There's a very obvious reason it went wrong in a marketing perspective, and then there's a less obvious reason for something else that happened that maybe you need to be aware of as well, so it doesn't affect your business. So we're going to get into that. So stick around till the end to find out what those two things are. But let's go through the rogues gallery of other big marketing F-ups in history. Coming in at number four is KFC. Or back in the day, their original branding and name actually turned out to be an F-up, not by design. It was originally called, if you're really young, you're a Zoomer, and you only know them as KFC. It used to be Kentucky Fried Chicken. And then one day, around about the 80s, late 80s towards the 90s, they realized every single part of their name was problematic. Kentucky was parochial and too regional and countrified, linked just to a state in the US. Fried became a bad word as people became health conscious. And chicken limited your product portfolio and your ability to add scope to your business. So they rebranded to KFC. But for years, even when they did KFC, they had this strap line, or their tagline was finger licking good. You had Colonel Sanders on the big bucket of chicken with finger licking good. And then when they went into China, as many companies did also in the 90s, they had that slogan everywhere all around the world, and they translated it into Chinese and put it on the bucket and on the stores and everything. And the translation was too literal, so finger licking good in Chinese came out as eat your fingers off, which was a bit of a disaster. So they had to pull it out and stop that immediately, which is a mistake in translation. And from a marketing perspective, you have to be careful with translations. The best way is you have a high quality translation company and they do it. They test it with a few people, but even then, I've still seen it go wrong. You find some local people and find some native speakers of that language and test it with them. Test, because translations can be very nuanced, and the worst thing you do is take a direct literal one. Coming in at number three on epic marketing F-ups in history is American Express. They once tried to run a campaign for their premium elite members. So from their customer list, their database of customers, which is the most important thing in your business. It's how you're going to grow, go back to giving them new offers, etc., and do a lot of your marketing. And they wanted a premium card for their really premium top tier spenders. And the person doing the mail merge obviously had a bit of a chip on their shoulder, maybe a contractor, who knows, that did not like rich people. That's clearly who the campaign was targeting. So when they did the mail merge, when the letter came out that got printed and sent out to customers, it said, instead of saying dear valued customer or something like that, it said dear rich bastard. Obviously a bad mistake on a number of levels. The person doing the copywriting, the person doing the mail merge, if it was the same person, picked it up. The person proofreading the final letter, and then even when it got sent out. So if you're the head of marketing or you're the marketing manager, you can't outsource everything to, you still have to spot check stuff. That should have had two or three people checking it before it went out. So that obviously cost them clearly a lot of money on that campaign, and probably lost some customers too by just annoying them. If customers think you don't respect them and you're annoying them, they take their business elsewhere. They vote with their wallet. So that was a bad one. Just a classic admin mistake, but nevertheless costly. Coming in at number two is the Ford Motor Company. So for many years they had a car called the Ford Pinto, which was a small kind of cheap hatchback type of vehicle. It was the Pinto in the US, it was the Pinto in Europe. It was a very big again, kind of 90s and 2000s. Even if you remember that Offspring song, Pretty Fly for a White Guy, he was cruising in his Pinto, shouting homies as he passed. So it was a popular car. And with cars, they tried to get a unique name that they can use everywhere. So ideally, it's a name that doesn't mean anything, or it's a word that can't be messed up in translation, like the Ford Galaxy. A galaxy is a galaxy in most places, and they use that same name everywhere. But when they exported the Pinto, it was a complete and utter disaster and flop in Brazil. I don't know if they ever got to even launch it, because they went to go and launch it, and I'm God hoping there was an intervention from the Ford Brazil team that they could not sell the car there or do a launch, because Pinto in Brazilian Portuguese was slang for a small male genitalia. That's right, Pinto meant tiny penis. So another complete stuff up that you got to rename the car or test the product. And again, tricky with translations. Test the translations, but don't just, which I have seen done, like you'd be amazed, even global brands, global companies, you know, they got a lot of efficiencies by saying, we'll make one campaign, we'll do it all centrally out of New York or London, we'll do sort of, you know, three different variations of types of people and cultures on it, we'll translate it centrally, and then particularly to the smaller markets, we'll just send it out and we'll just pay for local ads, and just, you know, you save a lot in media and production, but it can have big downsides like this. So even if you're going to do that, just check before it gets too far down the pipe. Which then brings us on to, of course, number one, the big beer debacle. So what happened with Bud Light that they, how could it go so wrong with their well-intentioned transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney making this Bud Light ad? Now, it's gone wrong on a couple of levels. Let's talk about first customer segmentation and then marketing fundamentals and skills. So hop on over to the piece of paper and let's first sort of break out what we're talking about. So if you look at let's draw this big kind of circle. This is the wide world of alcohol. So obviously in marketing, you want to segment the market into segments. This is segmentation, and then targeting. Who are the different people that live in each of these segments? What do they like? What do they want? And how do I make an offer to them? So let's first split out the world of alcohol to see an example. So out of all the alcohols in the world that can be split up, if you split it up by product type, you can probably say, okay, look, here's like, you know, champagnes of the world, and this can be split up into many more segments. Champagne from Champagne region in France. Champagne that's the same, but you can't call it that because it's sparkling wine. Antique champagne, high branded, premium champagne, etc., etc. And then you could probably have like wine, probably a bit bigger actually there. And wine can be segmented further. Obviously cheap to expensive, you know, France, different regions of France, New World wines, obviously white and red, rosé, and then cheap to premium again. You have probably all the different types of hard spirits. I'll lump them all together here, but obviously that can be then broken up into obviously, you know, your whiskey, gin, rum, etc. goes on and on. And within whiskey, you'll also have lots of different segments. Again, mostly cheap to expensive, even going within individual brands. So if you look at Johnnie Walker, you can get a bottle of Johnnie Walker Red for about $20, and all going up to Johnnie Walker Blue, which would be like $200. And then, you know, various types of other whiskies, as a Scottish, Irish, particular distilleries, has been in a barrel for 200 years, all this kind of stuff. So you segment who you're going for. And there's all the other markets there. And then if we come over to the wide world of beer over here, you've probably got in beer, you've got, I'll make that a different color, you've got craft beers has been a big thing, big trend last few years. IPAs, craft IPAs, New England IPAs, very, you know, hoppy, fruity, soapy type ales. And home brewing, all this kind of stuff, hipsters, they all live here. You do have more premium beers. you know, fancy bottles, just sold at a really expensive price, indicating quality, premium lagers, premium ales. And then in the rest of this, you have mass market consumption, which is general lager, right? You'll get some variations on lager in there, but generally, and this is the brands like in the US, what we start to talk about, the historical beer brands. You have obviously your Budweiser, Bud Light, Coors, Coors Light, Miller, Miller Light, and that's kind of replicated in most countries, you know, Carling, Foster's, all this kind of stuff. So this is the mass market, because the consumption of beer out of all the alcohols is clearly by far will be the biggest in the world, and this is the biggest part of the market. So if you look at Bud Light, who was the product for, and you know, who was the target market? It was, you look at the previous ads, you travel around the US, it was working class, blue collar people, you know, like sports, general sports, football, baseball. They like music, music concerts, popular music. And that's it. They work hard, take care of their families, try to be good people, you know, go to the game on the weekend or watch the game, have friends, get the barbecue out, barbecue and beers, football and beers, baseball and beers, music, concerts and beers, anytime, all that kind of stuff. They want a cheap, okay tasting, I want to get a buzz, I want to get buzzed a little bit, reliable beer that links to things I like, which is what, sports and music and Americana. Yeah, that was a lot of their history, you know, proud to be American and how we built, it's the type of thing, you know, how we built America, all this kind of stuff. That was their heritage. So that's the segmentation. So that is the customer. Now, what is your job as the marketing manager or the head of marketing? Your job and your only job is to know the customer intimately, have customer intimacy, know everything about them, know what they like, what they don't like, what they're into, what they're not into, what they're gonna go for, what they're not gonna go for, know the customer, love them, and find out what they want and make available to them what they want, and they will buy it. This is the difference between sales and marketing. Sales is, I have this blue can of fluid, it's refreshing, it's 0.5%, whatever, buy it, because I think it's good for you, versus this is what I want a nice cheap beer, good brand I trust, link to the stuff I like, and yeah, me and my buddies are gonna buy it, we're gonna drink it. Okay, so know the customer, find out what they want, make it available, and give it to them. Also, don't try and change them. Okay, people, as grown-ups, once you're grown up, it's very hard to change yourself, and it's hard to change your family members, your friends, never mind trying to get people to change through an ad campaign. So what went wrong with Bud Light? The obvious one was they ignored this core principle, this fundamental of marketing. Did they test it with the customers? Because this skill is sadly lacking these days. You used to storyboard things up or just do a mock-up of some boards. You'd run focus groups and say, hey, this is the ad we're thinking of running. Does this resonate with you? What do you think of it? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Does it make you want to purchase? That's the intent. Obviously, at the end of the day, you've got to make sales. That's the whole point of business. No sales, no business. Nobody has a job. The economy doesn't grow. Nothing moves. So is it going to move the needle? And the customers have to want to buy it. So they for sure didn't test it with the target customers. Because, you know, would they have liked transgender? Maybe. But you didn't test them. You tested it the hard way, which they launched it and found out the customers didn't like it. It didn't resonate with them. And that's where it went terribly wrong, to the point they tanked, how much was it? 15.7 billion in share value wiped off that brand, and like $500,000 in the latest report just lost in North America alone in sales. And to this day, they still can't, it's like many, many months after, they still can't sell the product. There's pictures on Instagram, they're trying to sell crates of it for like a dollar, and it's still not shifting. To have, you know, customers firing automatic weapons into your product is a pretty visceral reaction. So what went wrong? It was a complete failure of marketing fundamentals that screwed the brand, basically, because a brand takes a long time to build up. A brand is built on trust. And there's the saying, trust arrives by foot, but it departs by horseback. So that brand is trashed. If they can, it'll take them a decade to build it back up again, if at all. Some brands don't recover, they never recover. So that's their challenge. They'll have to softly, softly try and build that brand up again. So yeah, where did it go wrong? I saw the marketing, the interview with the marketing lady who ran the campaign, it's her idea. And she said the brief was to elevate and uplift the brand, which meant inclusivity, which meant transgender. Did it? That's a hell of a leap to go from there to there. And it might have been possible if you'd have tested it with the customers. Now, they clearly didn't do that. Otherwise, they would have found out, because you can't change your customers. The only way you might be able to do is if you might be able to move them slowly. You don't go from here to here in one big leap. Is, you know, and you still have to test this. If can you move them step by step by step, very slowly over time, from there to there. But like I said, it's people don't actually change. People are set in their ways. So just launching something at them that they don't agree with, that's just human nature. People don't like it. They don't like being told what to do. So it's just a failure in utter marketing fundamentals. And the second, that's the core failure from a marketing perspective. And the second failure from also a marketing perspective was, and also the way you run your business perspective, was it's kind of enforcing a political view and a fad. There's always stuff, and you know, the zeitgeist of the time, fads in business. You know, you have to stay current, of course, but you know, you can't just force stuff that you think is the right thing, which is clearly what this lady thought. She thought, I'm doing the right thing, I have the moral high ground, I'm going to push this message, which was, you know, very current, and this is happening, and it's going to be great, and launched it, didn't test it, obviously a complete failure, and that's why. So she got thrown under the bus pretty quickly, but it's also a failure in management, because I believe senior management said, oh, we didn't know about this, which I believe is complete BS, because, you know, I've been in the industry a long time. I've never seen an ad campaign go to market without senior management wanting to see it first, to either be aware of it, approve it, or in many cases, they just like their thumbprint on it to go, yes, I was involved in that before it goes to market. That's what happens. So to say, oh, none of us senior people knew about it, I think it's just complete BS, and they need to be held, they should have been held accountable too. And the only other thing, in their potential defense, which is not a defense, was that, you know, average age of a VP or a CEO running these types of companies, like 55 to 60. If they had said, look, I have no idea what's happening in the culture these days. It's gone, you know, completely beyond my baby boomer mind. I can't relate to millennials and Zoomers. I'm just gonna, you know, you marketing department, lady marketing, head of marketing, you do it all. We don't wanna know, we empower you. Go forth, and we look forward to the great results. But if you're the CEO or running a company, it's your responsibility to still, I know it's a tough job, but you got to know everything that's happening. And for something like that to happen, to then say afterwards, oh, we knew nothing about it. And if they're still in their jobs, then that's wrong too. You know, the accountability counts, and they should have been gone as well. So that's the two big failures. You know your customer, give your customer what they want. Don't try and change your customer. If you really, I mean, the way that she spoke about the customers was just this disdain. If you really hate your customers, then either you change your job, or get, if it's your company, get rid of that product line, or launch a new product targeting that particular niche that she was passionate about. You know, she could have made a transgender product for the transgender community. But trying to put, you know, something that's applicable to 0.1 to 0.5 max percent of the population, to try and put that on everybody else, might it have worked? Maybe, but you should have tested it. You know, it's, you know, if you're the marketing manager, the head of marketing for Bud Light, your opinion on transgender or anything doesn't matter, it doesn't count, it's irrelevant. All that matters is what the customers think. So maybe transgender could have been one of 10 ideas, right, that should have got tested That's how it works. Brainstorming, right? What do we think? Oh, what should we do something with sports? Should we do something with music? Should we do something with influencers? What else is happening? Should we do something with TikTok videos? Should we do something with dancing in the street? I don't know. Big long list, focus groups, get customers, test stuff. This will fly. They like this. Yeah, this will make them want to buy. Again, that's your job. And this definitely will not. Cross, 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 cross. Try stuff. You know, stuff, not everything works, but you want to test what doesn't work. They clearly didn't do that. They just thought, I'm in this, you know, moral high ground position. This is happening. Customers rejected it. And there you go. So failure in management and a failure in marketing from the beginning. So marketing fundamentals count. Segmentation, targeting, know who your customer is. If you don't like them, actually, that's your problem. You need to change your product or change your business. So because it's very hard to change the customers. Find other customers that more align with your values and virtues. But otherwise, if they're going to continue to be your customers, stay on top, stay close to them. Keep finding out what's changing with them. When are they ready for new ideas like this? But test stuff. And that's clearly what happened here. So if you want to test your business against the marketing fundamentals, if this has stirred some things in you to check out, to want to do better in the world of marketing, then I've got a free marketing assessment template for you. You can go in and tick against the 6 key things in the core process of marketing. You can click on the link below. You can download that for free and check your business out against the core concepts of marketing, where you're strong, where you're weak. And if you want other resources, tips and help, then head over and visit us at steps2growth.com. I've got a wealth of stuff there as well to help grow your business with good, decent marketing. So yeah, it's easy to lose sight of the fundamentals. But again, you know, always using the sporting analogy, who are the best athletes of all time? They're the ones that just do the fundamentals all the time, especially in practice. You know, they're still just drilling the fundamentals. And it's the same with marketing. People get caught up in all these fads and all the stuff, now digital, now it's AI. The core of it is find who your customers are, find out what they want, make it available to them, and they will buy from you. It's not that hard. Keep it simple. So I hope that helps. Go out and make great marketing.